The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Karen Krause. Karen is the executive director of the Feral Cat Coalition of Oregon. Hey there, Karen. Welcome back to Let's Talk Portland.
Hi, Gary. It's nice to be here today.
So let's get started today by talking about the Feral Cat Coalition of Oregon. What is that?
Yeah, we are a high-quality, high-volume spay-neuter clinic for feral, which is untamed, and stray, and in our case, outdoor, unhomed, non-pet, you know, not part of a family member, stray cats. So kitties that are in the neighborhood who maybe were left behind or got lost looking for a mate or, you know, just strayed from home and no longer know where that home is. So we're looking after the kitties that are living on our streets and need care. And we want to help spay and neuter them to reduce their populations and also to prevent future generations from having that same experience of living on the streets.
What is a feral cat?
So feral, in a short and easy way, is untamed domestic house cat, right? So all cats are the same. Feral is a behavior. Right? Feral is just a fear of humans. They look like and are exactly like any other cat, except they're afraid of humans and they'll react more in a wild state. But we use the term feral for any domesticated animal that has reverted to kind of that more wild state. So you can have a feral pig or a feral cow or a feral dog as an example. So it's just an untamed domestic animal.
Okay. Does a feral animal become feral, or are they born that way?
That's a great question. The most common way a cat is feral is they were born to a mom that either was a stray cat and was kind of fearful of people and instilled that fear into her kittens, or is a feral cat. So a mom cat who is feral and has a litter of kittens will have a litter of feral kittens. And that instinct to fear humans is just instilled at birth. And so that's the way that cats really become feral or are feral. And if you get kittens young enough, you can actually transform them into a domesticated, friendly cat. Okay. And the rest of their life, they will be friendly. You can actually break that cycle. But if you wait, and particularly if you wait more than 6 to 8 weeks, that feral instinct becomes ingrained and they're going to be harder to less likely to being able to be tamed. But people will often find a stray cat who some people might find a stray cat who isn't very friendly and they're afraid. And maybe they've had to fend for themselves for a while, and they're just scared. And that fear can make them look like a feral cat, but they're really just a frightened, friendly kitty. And in those cases, if you brought them into your home, you would see quickly they would calm down and they could, you know, be friendly lab cats. A feral cat's not going to take that path. A feral cat is really going to remain fearful of you. You're not really going to coax them over into being a friendly kitty. And that's not the job for all. You know, not every cat can have a home, and not every cat can be tamed from being on this, you know, be tamed. So it's really important to spay and neuter the feral cats so there aren't more of them and they can live out their lives. And then we can provide care to pet cats, you know, that hospitals and the community and animal shelters and lots of different ways to help the pet cats of the world. We're really focused on those who aren't fortunate enough to have that life.
How does, if somebody has a feral cat in their neighborhood and they've been maybe feeding it or putting out food for it, how do they get it to you to spay or neuter?
We are what's called caregiver-based TNR. TNR stands for trap, neuter, return. So the people that are feeding the cats, when they contact us, we give them an appointment to pick up live humane traps. And they're a box trap with a trip plate inside. So when the animal enters, the trip plate is triggered and the box closes behind the cat. So the cat is not injured in any way. But we provide those traps and trapping instructions so that the individual feeding the cats can trap their cat and bring their cat into us for being spayed and neutered and vaccinated. And there are so many benefits to a live trap. And anybody who's listening and is thinking, oh my gosh, traps don't usually have the best outcome for animals in our society. These are completely humane. And a lot of people work really hard to build a bond with the cats they're feeding, and they don't want to break that bond. And they're very concerned that a trap will scare the animal and that will hurt their bond. But it turns out that the trap is the safest way and the best way to maintain your bond, because the trap means you're not trying to touch the cat. You're not trying to grab the cat. And anytime you try to handle a cat, you even take your pet cat, right, and try to put him into a carrier, they suddenly have more legs than you thought they had. You can't get them into that carrier. If you try to handle a cat that's a little bit afraid of you, you know, even a unsocial or a fearful stray cat, you face being bitten or scratched. And you also frighten the cat, because now you have physically contacted the kitty to make the cat do something it didn't want to do. You are scary. But if a trap catches the cat, the trap caught that cat, not you. And they don't associate you with that. Okay. And so it doesn't break your bond. Plus, you're not going to get hurt or injured. And it's a lot easier and safer for my staff to handle the cats when they come in a live trap. So we do require all the cats that come to us be in a humane live trap.
Is the live trap, does it become kind of a carrier as well once the cat
is trapped? It has a handle on top. Okay. We put newsprint in the bottom of it, and there's a cage cover over it so that the cat is safe. And we give all sorts of instructions on how to keep your cat safe once they're trapped. But yes, exactly. And then you can just bring the cat in that actual trap.
Okay. We're talking today with Karen Krause, Executive Director of the Feral Cat Coalition of Oregon. So Karen, once a feral cat is brought to you, what kind of services do the cats receive?
So in addition to being spayed and neutered, because we will right ear tip the cat, which is the international symbol of a spayed or neutered feral cat. It takes a little quarter of an inch off that ear, which I'm going to circle back to at the end. They receive their vaccines. If they're over 3 months of age, they will get a rabies vaccine. We'll also give a distemper vaccine. We'll treat for ear mites if they've got ear mites. We'll flea treat the cats. If they have an abscess, we'll flush out that abscess. And of course, the cat is spayed or neutered when they're in our care. We recognize this is the one time that cat's probably going to receive care, and we want to make sure they get the best that they can and give them the best opportunity.
Yeah, so it's a kind of like a full workup for the cat.
Right. Spa day at Feral Cat Coalition of Oregon.
So and then what happens after you guys take care of the cat? What's next?
So the cats come in the morning. They're spayed, neutered, vaccinated. Once they're recovered from surgery, they go home that same day back to the people who trapped the cat. They have go-home instructions to make sure the cat is recovering safely overnight. And the following day, they release the cat back to where they're feeding them.
So they go back to the neighborhood and maybe hang out where they were hanging out.
Well, ideally, what's happening is that there's a person who's feeding the cats, and that the cats are going to go back to where there's that food source. We don't want to see cats return to not having a reliable food source. And so they're going back to that environment.
Are feral cats kind of a problem in nature?
Feral cat, any cat who's outside can impact nature.
Okay.
Feral cats spend 100% of their time outdoors. Thus, they do predate on wildlife. But all kitties who go outside have that opportunity, depending on their personality, are going to hunt more than others on wildlife. And so when we reduce the number of feral cats living on the streets, we're definitely impacting what happens to wildlife. But we're also we're also trying to add the humane element that Portland is, you know, Portland's an animal town, right?
Yeah.
Is we want to look after the most vulnerable in our community. And cats are the number one pet in America. There's more cats in people's homes than any other pet. And yet, when cats are outdoors and not under human support, they're vulnerable and they're going to breed more. And we don't want to see more living in that environment. The idea that that cats and wildlife are a conflict point is, it is true. Cats are naturally born hunters.
Right.
And that's why we want to see fewer feral cats in the environment, is for the benefit of the cats, but also for the benefit of wildlife. And for folks that have never seen a feral cat or don't have stray cats in their neighborhood, know that every time you keep your pet cat at home or safe at home, meaning, you know, indoors or maybe confined to your yard or walking on a leash or in a backpack and doing adventure cat things with your kitty, at any time you let your cat go outdoors and just free roam your neighborhood, you are putting your cat into harm's way with lots of hazards out there. And you're also putting our wildlife at risk. And so anytime we can keep our cats safe at home and not let them free roam really is a benefit for the cat and is a benefit for wildlife.
Well, and keeping a cat at home kind of leads us into an event that you guys have coming up. It's the annual Catio Tour. I love the name. First of all, Catio, that's just got to be the best word ever. What is
it's
a Catio?
A fun word.
What is
Everyone
it?
Who does Wordle, type it in. It won't be a real word just yet, but it will be a real word one day soon. For those that don't know, Catio is a cat patio, an outdoor cat enclosure. And so it's something you can put in your yard that will keep your cat safe in your yard. It can be something you built. It can be something you purchased. It can be a mix. Sky's the limit. And the Catio Tour is intended to showcase things that people have done that might inspire someone else to build or buy a catio for their yard and for their cats. And so what's really cool this year is that we've got five catios in the Portland metro area. I'm sorry, five in Portland. And then we have five that are in Vancouver.
Okay.
And it is part of the Portland metro area. And so we're really excited to showcase some really interesting catios on both sides of the Columbia this year. And we've got everything from do-it-yourself, right? We've got individuals who just created fantastic things that they built themselves, to a fenced backyard. So for people who have a yard and you're like, I want the cat to have a little more space, we've got a great enclosed backyard as an option. And then we have some catios on the tour that were built by contractors, so that maybe you're not handy and you want somebody who could build your vision. We have some great catios with catio builders to give ideas and inspire folks that way.
So it sounds like these catios can get kind of elaborate and pretty fancy.
You know, they can be. And I don't want anyone to get scared off by that and think I don't have the money, or I'm not creative, or, you know, I'm not handy, I don't have the tools. No, and if you want to have your cat have safe outdoor time, I promise you there is a way to do that. And that's why at one of our stops, we're going to showcase our portable catio options. And those are things that you could build or purchase that are really great if you're renting or you're in a homeowner association situation where you can't build something that is permanent. This is a great first step. And so there are items that you could take your kitty and put into, as an example, you know, carry them out and put them inside, little cute pup tents, little pop-up things, or you could attach right to the side, or set, I should say, next to your house and open up a window and allow your cat to enter a portable catio that way. So what we're trying to say is, yes, if you've got a yard and you've got a big dream for a catio, come on the tour and see what others have done. But if you're like, I have a limited budget, or I'm not able to do something permanent, or I'm not quite sure I'm ready for that, I want to know more what's involved, We can show you that as well, and hopefully and give you ideas that will work for you.
How can our listeners participate in the catio tour?
Tickets are $15 each. It is on Saturday, September 7th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's self-guided, and you can pick and choose the catios you want to go to and explore them in whatever order works for you. And tickets are on sale. You can get them at feralcats.com, or you can go to the website, which is catssafeathome.org. And that is the website that supports the Catio Tour and the Cat Safe at Home messaging, which is a partnership between Feral Cat Coalition of Oregon and two local bird organizations, the Bird Alliance of Oregon, which was formerly Audubon, and the Bird Conservation Oregon, which also helps birds in our community.
What are the benefits of having a catio? What do the cats? The cats just must love that, right?
You know, kitties who want to go outside, it's a wonderful way to give them that enrichment and outdoor space while keeping them safe. And you can do anything within that space, from having it just for you, I'm sorry, just for the cats, or in a space that's for people and cats. And so it allows you maybe an additional space outdoors to hang out with your kitties, or a space that's just for them. And it definitely enriches their life, and is for people who have multiple cat households, it often can calm down any kind of issues the kitties might have with one another. It stops, for a lot of people, it stops door dashing, where the kitties wait at the door and try to dart out the door. Yep. It gives them the freedom to come and go at their own leisure into a catio. It can, you know, really reduce some behavioral issues people are having. It can make your backyard really unique and special and fun for you as well. There's just kind of, it's unlimited, yeah. Unlimited potential.
In my mind, I'm kind of imagining a screened in room that a cat would go outside in. Is that?
Well, if you have an actual existing deck, you know, covered deck, you can enclose that pretty easily. That's a pretty easy and common way people will build a catio. But you might have a part in your yard that you don't use very much, or is kind of space that's underutilized, and you could build a catio into that area. And what a win-win. Now you've got a cool space in your yard you weren't using, and your kitties love it. You might have vertical space. You might have a fence, and you want your cats to be able to see over that fence safely. So you might build something higher, or some people build a catio all the way around their fencing, so it's more like a cat walkway that goes all the way around. It really, again, the sky's the limit on what's the right fit for you and what interests you, and what part of your yard isn't being utilized that you'd like to use. Or maybe you need to have a catio that comes off of a certain window in your house or a certain door in your house. That's another starting point to decide, I think this would be a good spot for a catio because of that access point. So it's super individualized. No two are exactly the same.
We're talking today with Karen Krause, Executive Director of the Feral Cat Coalition of Oregon. So Karen, Portland is called the Catio Capital. Why is that?
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
For those who didn't even know the term catio, it must be very exciting to know we're the capital of it
exactly.
Now. And we're pretty excited. We know of, and this is the Cat Safe at Home Partnership, is aware of more than 1,200 catios in the Portland metro area.
Wow.
That's not all the catios out there, for sure. That's just the catios that were either on the tour, applied to be on the tour, people who attended the tour and have said, I built a catio or have a catio, or people who have taken our pledge that they keep their cats safe at home, which, by the way, if you haven't taken the pledge, do check it out at catssafeathome.org, and you too can be part of this. And what we're seeing is that our mission to protect wildlife and to protect cats is being embraced in Portland. It's embraced internationally, to be honest. Catios are an international phenomenon. But people in Portland have really taken to it, and we're so proud of that. And anything we've done to motivate that, we're thrilled. But we know of more catios than any other city is at this point claiming to. So we're the catio capital because we've really taken to something that's the benefit to our native wildlife and to our cats.
Give us the date and time again for the catio tour.
September 7th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And tickets or registration is available through the Thursday before, so on the 5th. We've got to get all the paperwork ready and out to the catios ahead of time. So make sure you sign up sooner than later and come join us for a wonderful, fun cat event, by the way. Let me just say, you get to see catios, you get to see yards. There's a catio with a swimming pool in it.
Wow.
Their cats swim in their little swimming pool. There's a catio adjacent to a koi pond, which is beautiful. We've got wonderfully homemade catios, and it's a fun cat event. I encourage people to come on out and hang out with cat people as well.
And it's on a catter day, right?
Yes. Good one.
So, Karen, the Feral Cat Coalition of Oregon is a nonprofit. So how are you supported?
All of our services are provided to the community for a donation. So we are fortunate that, again, Portland is a very animal-friendly, supportive place. And we rely on donations. We accept them on our website. We take Venmo. We have all sorts of activities. So if you get involved with us, you'd learn more about all the things we're doing. People who bring cats to us, we don't have a required fee, but we do have a suggested donation per cat for the services the cat receives. And so donations make it possible for us to even offer that to the community. And so every time somebody supports our work, we're incredibly grateful and know that you're making a difference in the community when you support us.
We've got just a little bit of time left, but I want to make sure we get in some volunteer information. Do you have volunteers?
We do. We've got volunteers that help in all sorts of ways. They volunteer in our clinics. They volunteer helping at our front office area with all sorts of projects and work that we have there. They help with fundraising. We also have an outreach team that does a lot of our street fairs and other activities in the community, and we're looking to grow that as well. So really, depending on people's interest level, we have a lot of ways people get involved.
And just to make it clear, your organization does not do the trapping of feral cats. Is that correct?
No, we do not. We are the veterinary care side of it. So we have trained veterinarians who perform high quality, high volume spay neuter. And we are the spay neuter clinic that can safely help anywhere from 40 to 80 cats in a day. So we are the spay neuter clinic and we provide those services.
Do you have any idea how many feral cats are out there?
No, that's been a forever question, and it's impossible to do that count.
Yeah.
But we do know that since the pandemic, the need for our feral and stray services has doubled.
Okay.
And a lot of that goes back to the pandemic when most services that were medical were closed for a window of time. And in that window of time, the cats and dogs weren't getting spayed and neutered. And there's a national study that says 3 million surgeries, spay-neuter surgeries, did not occur due to the pandemic.
Wow.
Well, the outcome of that are litters, and then litters upon future generations. So we're in a situation where the need is quite strong, and we're doing everything we can to help as many as we can. Again, we've doubled the number of surgeries, and yet we know that people who contact us might have to wait a bit to get that appointment. But we're doing all that we can.
Yeah. Give out the information or some information where people can get more information about the Feral Cat Coalition.
Our website is the best place at feralcats.com. But we're also on social media, and you can check us out on Facebook and Instagram and learn more, get involved, and make our community safer for the animals that share it with us.
And sign up for the catio tour. It's coming up. Karen, it's always fun to talk with you. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Really appreciate it.
We've been talking today with Karen Krause, Executive Director of the Feral Cat Coalition of Oregon. If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.